Hello.
Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
So, Brian, can you tell us how you got started into doing the website Days of Kids?
Absolutely. So we became first-time dads to our son, Levi, about 5.5 years ago. And at the time, we were living in New York City. My folks and family were in Boston, and my husband's were in Holland. So we didn't have immediate family with us. And we literally had about 2 days advance notice. And so we went out to some stores and said, oh, my gosh, we need to get stuff for this baby we're bringing home in a day and a half. And, you know, we went to those big box office stores, and everything we saw in there had labels that said for moms, by moms, made with moms, with love, from one mom to another mom. And it just, I felt like, wow, you know, this is great, there's all this mom stuff, but I'm a dad, and our son doesn't have any moms. Is there anything that speaks to us? And then we went home and went online, and I saw there was, like, nothing online at that time for dads, let alone gay dads. And so that's when we started thinking about Gays with Kids, but it took us about a year and a half, about 2 years, actually closer to 2.5 years, till we started doing something about it, because Levi was followed 17 months later by his twin sisters, and there was just no time with all the diaper changing and bottle feeding, et cetera, to get going on Gays with Kids anytime sooner.
Right. I just going to your website, you know, for the past couple of days so I can familiarize myself with it. And I'm like, I'm just reading all these articles. I'm going like, wow, you know, it's like really blowing up my iPad here, because I've been just scrolling through all the articles and everything. I'm going like, wow, you know, I can only imagine how long this took and how much patience that you had to do all this. And you're just like going like, oh my God, I'm going to be going crazy. You know, trying to do all stuff on the website and everything. I can definitely tell you got that whole entire, like, that Boston accent going on, too, because I can definitely tell the accent.
I do have that. Yeah, I've been out of Boston for a very long time, but clearly the accent does not leave me. I'm from Boston.
Right. So how did it come to be that you wanted to have kids? Were you and your partner wanting kids at the time, or are you guys thinking about it?
So it's interesting. So I'm actually, and there's an article called Positively Dads that was published early on Gays with Kids around June 4th, in which I'm one of the dads, one of the guys profiled. I'm HIV positive, so quite frankly, between being HIV positive and gay, I just assumed it was never going to be an option. And then eventually, you know, got into my 40s and realized I've been HIV positive for over 20 years now, and realized that, you know, life was going to continue. And, you know, we started talking about sort of longer term things. And, you know, really it was at the time my partner, who's now my husband, who said, you know, I don't think you are really ever going to be truly happy unless you're a dad. And he saw the way I loved spending time with our nieces and nephews or children of good friends, et cetera. And he just sort of saw it in me and took the lead to figure out how we could become dads.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting, because, you know, I mean, I don't have no kids of my own. The only kind of kids I have right now is my fur babies. And it's the only thing I really got right now close to kids. You know, I have a rebellious, older cat's rebellious teenager right now, and he's one of those types where, you know, he's always attached to me, you know, when I come home from work, and you know.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because we have a dog, Duke. Duke is going to be, he's our firstborn. He turned 9 in July, and when we got Duke, we realized how much we really loved taking care of some other entity that was outside of us. And so I can remember we would, like, leave dinner parties early or skip out on nights out because, you know, and literally would use the excuse, But we can't. We have to take care of Duke, or, you know, we want to take Duke for his nighttime walk. And my friends just thought we were crazy. And it's not that I treated him, you know, we ever thought of Duke as a person, but it definitely was this entity we absolutely fell in love with. And it was after that Ferd really said, oh, my God, look what we're both doing. Like, can you imagine if this is what we're doing for a dog? Imagine, like, how much more fulfilling it will be for us if we're doing it as dads.
Right. So how has it changed your life becoming a dad now in your 40s? Has it changed a lot, or has it changed a little?
Well, so in some ways it's changed dramatically. I mean, right now, so we moved to Toronto. My husband is Dutch, and we've been together over 21 years, but his legal status about 5 years ago, it was coming to an end in the States, and this was, of course, before all the wonderful marriage laws that have passed recently, so he had to get out or break up. You know, where we ended up, Levi was born a couple of months before we left, and where we ended up, you know, we live in a house. I would never have lived in a house before. We always lived in a high-rise in some gay neighborhood, and now we live 10 or 15 minute drive from the gay neighborhood in our city. And we're like the only gays around. And even though we live in a house and, you know, we drop the kids off to school, in some ways we feel like we're the least gay we've ever been. And yet wherever we go, everyone looks at us and thinks, oh, those are gay dads. Oh, that's the gay couple. Oh, those are the guys who are gay. And so we're constantly coming out or being thought of or looked at as being gay. And so in some respects, we feel like we're living the most, you know, non-gay life possible. And in other respects, we feel like we're the gayest we've ever been.
Right. So were you, like, I know that you've been in Toronto for a very long time. So how has Toronto treated you since you and your partner moved up to Canada?
So Toronto was great. I mean, you know, we moved here not knowing anybody, and Toronto, again, back when I couldn't sponsor Ferd in the States, Canada said, hey, you can come here and sponsor your husband. And so that's something that, you know, I will always be grateful for and never forget. It's a really open, diverse community. People here, or at least where we live, sort of downtown-ish, are very liberal-minded, and, you know, I mean, we would get play dates early on from people, and I know it was just, you know, the phone chain was going, hey, have you hung out with the gay couple yet? Have you hung out with the gay dads yet? And so that was really kind of funny, you know, people actually reaching out to us because they thought it was really cool to be able to say, you know, to be able to meet the gay dads. So Toronto's been a very welcoming city. It's cold here.
Yeah. You know, I've been to Toronto many years. You know, my partner is originally from Toronto.
Yep.
And, you know, I've been with my partner for, oh, God, I'm trying to think, almost close to 15 years. You know, first time I met him, you know, when you first come in, you meet a new person, you're very apprehensive and stuff like that. You know, it was more uncanny when I got to meet his family. It was, you know, I'm not sure how you are when you first meet people. I'm very, you know, like very, you know, quiet and observant and stuff like that. I like to observe people before anything else. You know, how they interact with everybody else. Because, you know, I mean, I don't like when people try to get me to talk, because I like to open up before I know the person, before I start engaging them in the conversation. You know, that's just how I am. For me personally, my mom's mom and dad are Hungarian. Then my dad's mom and dad are German. So, you know, when I was growing up, you know, we never spoke English around my grandparents or anything like that. We had to learn how to speak Hungarian or learn how to speak German, stuff like that. Cause, you know, my grandparents never spoke a word of English whatsoever.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was kind of like a trying to learn both languages and stuff like, you know, I mean, I've spoke German fluently when I was going to school, but, you know, they got, oh, you got, what my partner calls, he calls, oh, you got to speak American in order, you know, to to go to school and not like and stuff like that, you know. And but you know, I guess I had to learn, you know, my parent calls it American, I call it English. I had to learn going through speech class in order to learn how to say like certain American words and all this, and I'm like. It was very frustrating for me because, you know, I was very rebellious when I was growing up, for sure, you know. So, so how's everything else changed for you and your partner since having kids?
I mean, pretty much 100%. I mean, the focus really is on children, and you know, your weekends are filled like, you know, what are we going to do with the kids? Whereas before, you know, our lives when we were living, let's say in Manhattan or in Boston, you know, Sundays would be about what are we doing for brunch? Where are we going to go at around 11, 12 o'clock ish, 12:30, and start the day. And you know, by now at 12:30, 1 o'clock, we've already had a couple of meals and been outside and rode bikes and played games and went to the park and figuring out what we're going to do for the rest of the afternoon. And you just do a lot of things, like, you know, we go to the farm, we go to the zoo, we do a lot of things that we would just didn't do before. So, yeah, you experience a lot more things, and you just, you know, you're really life is really all about your kids and making sure that they're happy and healthy and kept busy and having a good time, and you're building memories for them that, you know, you hope are really warm, and that they grow up and just have all these wonderful memories that they want to share with their family friends.
All right. I know my show is also part of National Coming Out Day and stuff like that.
Yep.
Was it hard for your family to accept you for being a gay man and also being HIV positive? Was that really hard for them to accept everything all at once?
Well, so I did something that I've yet to meet anyone else who did this, but I actually came out as being straight with HIV about, I don't know, 25 years ago. So I was in a relationship with a woman. She knew I was HIV positive. Her parents knew. My parents and my siblings knew. We were supposed to get married, and I just couldn't do it. And everyone said, Brian, you got to go to therapy. Why can't you marry this woman? She knows you're HIV positive. She loves you. You love her. Her family's accepting. Everyone's accepting. It doesn't make sense. And I went and, I, of course, sought a gay therapist. And for the first time ever, I said, I am gay. And we just spent like 9 months of therapy of me dealing with coming out as being gay. So by the time I came out as being gay, my family was very accepting. You know, they were like, wow, you know, any other secrets you want to know about them? They were really very, very, very cool. And coming out as gay eventually became easier, of course, because there was no health implications versus coming out as HIV positive. But I've been very lucky in that I've been surrounded by support and love since the get-go. It was really mostly my own internalized stuff.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I came out when I was 18. Well, I didn't really come out.
Did I lose you guys?
My brother and sister told my mother that I was gay, and you know, I was still in high school.
Did I lose you?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Hey, Jason, I'm going to call back on my cell phone. I have a feeling I may have got lost here.
Okay.
Hey, Jason?
Yeah, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now, David? Not Dave. I meant Brian. I'm sorry. Oh. I'm having really bad cell phone reception, too, for some reason. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay. So for me personally, my coming out story was, I mean, I've been openly gay for 15 years, I think it is. Came out in 98. Basically, I didn't come out to my mother. Basically, my brother and sister told her that I was gay. And, you know, I was still in high school at the time. And, you know, I was just coming downstairs from studying finals, you know, and my mom broadsided me. And she's like, oh, you know, Jason, can I ask you something? I'm like, okay. And she goes, are you gay? And I'm like, yes, I am. And she goes, you know, why couldn't you talk to me about it? Why couldn't you tell me this? You know how all mothers are, you know. And, you know, my mom didn't talk to me for close to 6 months because, she thought she did something wrong as a parent and stuff like that. And, you know, and my dad never knew that I was gay because my biological father passed away 21 years ago. So if my dad was still alive today, he would completely disown me for sure because that's how my dad was. You know, my dad, you know, just didn't want gay people to be in the family because my mom has a gay brother and, you know, he basically, you know, drove my mom's brother out of our lives and stuff like that. And, you know, my dad had one of those, you know, different moralities, you know, what should be right and what should be wrong. You know, being a gay person wasn't accepted in my family. So that was, you know, that's one of my things I had to deal with about, you know, being the only, you know, gay child out of my main family, because it was really hard for me to come out as a gay man and you know, dating guys and stuff like that. And, you know, I had plenty of girls as friends, but, you know, my mom says, you know, it's only a phase, you're going to grow out of it, you're going to meet this wonderful girl and get married and have kids. I'm like, no, I'm not going to get married to a girl and have kids, you know? And you know, she always like kids and all of me. She was like, Jason, when are you going to give me grandbabies? I'm like, Mom, you know that I'm gay, right? And she goes, yeah. I still think it's a phase. And, you know, I'm like, you know, it's been almost 16 years. If it was a phase, it would have been over already, you know?
Yeah, it's a long phase.
So she, you know, she always kids around with me about that, but you know, I more have a really tight bond with my older sister Tracy. Because, I mean, she was the first person to fully accept me for being openly gay and as a gay man and stuff like that, you know. And she basically told me, she goes, like, Jason, you know what, I love you no matter what. You're my brother. Unconditional love is love regardless, you know. And you know, my family is still, how do I put it? They're just really still in the dark ages about a lot of things, about like different stigmas of for the gay community, because, you know, they always think, oh, you know, you're gonna get HIV or AIDS or whatever, and you know it doesn't work that way. I mean, it doesn't, you know it, like how HIV doesn't discriminate. You know, I mean, it goes either way. I mean, it's not one of those things where, oh yeah, you know, only gay people get it and stuff like that. That's not true, you know.
Right, yeah. It's tough. I'll tell you, we did for coming out, we did, I don't know if you saw it, we did a couple different articles on gay dads who were, you know, married, living in heterosexual relationships, became dads, and then, you know, got the courage to live their authentic lives. And those guys really, really inspired me because, you know, just being in a relationship with a woman, thinking I was going to get married, I feel like I can begin almost to relate to what was going on, what must have been going on for them. And, you know, I encourage anyone who's in a similar situation to visit Gage with Kids and check out the last couple articles we published on these. One just shows a bunch of different gay dads who have since come out, and it just shows their pictures and what their situations are. And another is a more sort of in-depth article we did interviewing a few different guys. And, you know, while everyone, almost everyone agrees it's a roller coaster journey, and there are definitely some really some stuff that you have to deal with, real unpleasant stuff and unhappiness at the end, I think almost everyone would agree that they're happier today for living their sort of authentic lives.
Right. I you know, since I've been here in Ohio, I made a lot of interesting friends who were married, who had kids, and they were gay. This one friend I've known for many years, you know, I lost contact with him a long time ago. I don't know if he's still around or what. He has three kids. They're all, I'm gonna say they're all adults now, I do believe. And you know, he's gay, and his wife knew. And I'm like, you know, I don't. That's for me personally, I can't believe in, you know, sharing somebody with another person, because I think that is, it's like taboo in a way. You know, I'm just greedy. I'm just greedy. So I can't do that. You know, but that's me personally. You know, I think because, you know, I'm a Leo, and that comes out in me. You know, and you know, I just get very protective of who I dated at the time. You know, I'm just that kind of person, you know. But you know, I'm you know, they're still good friends of mine. You know, I mean, you know how once you come out, and you, like, your kids kind of feel, you know, like, you know what happened. You know, like, they kind of feel like they were the fault and all this. I never met any of the kids who my friends have, you know, with their ex-wives or anything like that. I never met none of them, because, you know, they're all grown and they're all on their own and stuff like that. You know, but they still have, you know, a very good close relationship with their fathers and stuff like that. You know, I would have to admit, I dated a guy who had children. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure if I was ready for it or not. But, you know, I mean, we dated for, you know, way before I met my partner and stuff like that. I just kind of felt awkward in a way. You know, maybe that's something that I had to deal with at the time. I just felt very awkward because, you know, I wasn't really sure, you know, how well my mom would have, you know, felt that I was dating a guy who had kids and stuff like that. You know, that's one of the things I had to deal with. And, you know, where I lived at in Pennsylvania, you know, if you live in a cul-de-sac and you're like all like family members.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, like the TV show called Cheers, where everybody knows your name and what time you come home and all that. You know, my family was so intrusive, you know, they try to figure out, you know, who I come home with and everything. I'm like, oh, goody. You know, I don't need that in my life right now, you know. But it's just,
yeah, I'm sure.
What was your question?
Oh yeah, no, yeah, I'm sure I can definitely relate to those kinds of situations. But yeah, I think that was a long time ago too, when you were, you know, a younger guy then.
When you talk about being like, in, you know, like 20 years ago and all that, I'm like, you make me feel old.
Yeah, well, that's about how I'm feeling these days. So join the club.
You know, and what's really sad is, you know, I'm only 34, and it's like, you know, I'm getting like gray hair out the wazoo, and I'm going like, oh my god, I'm getting gray hair, and I'm like, that's tragic.
No, you're aging gracefully. You're not even middle age yet. Don't worry about it.
You know, I'm hoping I look good when I'm in my 40s. That's the only thing I care about, you know. So that's the only thing I really care about. I'm hoping I look good when I'm in my 40s. You know, I mean, you know, I always get to the point if I go out somewhere, you know, it's always the young gays that like, you know, they eye me up like I'm like a piece of steak or something. I'm like, no. You know, you know, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, you know, people don't like, you know, I don't know. It's one of those. It's like kind of like, you know, I'm like the new person in the neighborhood. You know, they always have, you know, like, you know, try to figure me out in 5 seconds. You know.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody, you know, when I moved here, they try to place my accent and stuff like that. I'm like, I really don't have an accent, you know. But you know, when I go back home, it always comes out. It's like, it's so thick. My accent is so thick. And it's crazy. I'm like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from Pennsylvania. They're like, where in Pennsylvania? I'm like, you know, an hour south of Pittsburgh. And I'm like, oh, you got a Pittsburgh accent. I'm like, yeah, you could say that, you know. I mean, you know, I really can't really place my accent, but it's that kind of, you know, Pennsylvania twang kind of accent, or whatever you want to call it. I live in West Virginia, and they go, you know, they have like these weird names that you can't, you know, they thought I talked too fast, and they can't understand me. I'm like, no, you talk too fast. I talk perfectly normal, you know. So yeah, I mean, I just been really looking at the website. I think it's like so, you know, very insightful and very, you know, like very something for someone who is you know, a gay father or a lesbian mother. Maybe that might help like everybody in the LGBT community if they want to have children. You know, I think maybe that would be like the right tools to go by. They can read like your website and everything, how to become, you know, gay parents and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know.
Absolutely. We hope that we're a valuable site for those dads who are already raising their families, and we hope that we're a valuable site for those who are considering fatherhood. We would feel really cool and great to know that we're helping to inspire the next generation of gay dads.
So when you and your partner are walking in Toronto, like with your kids, do they automatically know that you're the guy behind the website, that you give all these helpful, you know, hints and tips and how to become gay fathers?
Well, sweeties, I don't think that, you know, we're that well known yet that everyone's thinking about gays with kids. But you know, I'd certainly say that, especially when the kids were younger and they were, you know, would be having a bunch of baby carriages, wherever we went, we felt like we were the circus attraction almost, because, you know, everyone would turn to look at us, gay, straight, young, old, et cetera.
Right.
I get that. We get that a little bit less now. You know, there's no place really to go essentially where all these gay dads or et cetera would be able to see us all in one place. But you know, I'm obviously, whenever it does happen, I'm obviously excited, because it just means that we're getting through to, you know, someone else. I reached out to a gay dad who was in Asia, and he had heard of Gays with Kids already. I was like, wow, that's awesome.
Wow, you know, I personally never heard of your website until Jeff put me in touch with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, like, he was like, you know, I got this really awesome guest that you need to have on your show, and I'm like, cool, awesome, like you know, his name is Brian Rosenberg and stuff like that. He has a website called Gays with Kids. You got to check it out. You know, you got to have him on your show and stuff like that. I mean, you know, before I had this show, my other show was more or less loosely on the other aspect. It wasn't like gay themed show or anything like that. More or less my other show was if you believe in ghosts or whatever. That was my first show that I had. You know, I believed in the whole type of, like, paranormal, because I currently live in a haunted house. I'm gonna throw that out there because people might not know, and like, go like. They go, ooh, like, you live in a haunted house. I'm like, yeah, I live in a haunted house. I mean, it's not one of these fake haunted houses. It's an actual real haunted house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, when me and my partner bought the house, he doesn't believe in none of this stuff. And you know, I'm like saying to my partner, I'm like, you know, Brian, you know, our new house that we're gonna be buying is haunted. He's like, oh no, it's not. I'm like, well, yeah, it is. You know, and the realtor was like, going like, you can't say that word. I'm going like, what, haunted? I'm like, well, it is haunted, you know. And like, and she goes, how do you know this? You know, and that, it's like, it's one of those things that I was born with. I can, you know, I can see ghosts and hear them and all that. And I'm like, well, there's a lady up on the landing, and it's like, and she's really pissed, you know. And it's, you know, and you know. You know, at the time my partner was traveling for work, and you know, I don't hear like a strange thing going on in my house, and I mean, it was really weird, but I didn't think nothing of it because it didn't bother me. So that's how my from that one show it led to this one, because I've been having you know, like RuPaul's Drag Race contestants on my show, and I'm like, you know, and I thought I'm not gonna change the name of my show and like, you know, just have it, you know, have it more diverse and have a more like LGBTQI topics and discussions and interviews on my show. And I've been having a lot of really interesting people on my show lately, because I wanted to give my listeners a much broader version of my show that I have now, because, you know, it's like it's been blowing up since I had it. It's crazy.
Wow, that's great. Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Anyone that's out there who's helping, you know, who's helping the community is doing really important work, in my opinion. So that's great.
Yeah. I mean, if you have any questions for me, just feel free to ask me. I'll definitely, you know, just answer the questions the best way I can. I always let people ask me questions, because I find that most intriguing when people ask me a question, and I'll try to answer the best I can.
All right. Well, I actually, I've got three little ones waiting for dinner right now. So I think, and I got someone knocking on the door saying I'm after 6:30.
You know, they're all like, we're hungry here. It's dinner time.
Exactly. I promised them that
I would love to have you back on the show, Brian, and, you know, we can have, like, more time to talk, and maybe we can talk more about the website and everything if you have more time to talk again.
Sure, that would be great. That would be great.
Yeah, I enjoy talking to you a lot, because, I mean, you know, I kind of feel that, you know, since, you know, we kind of, you know, connected on certain things, you know, but, I mean, maybe one of these days when I come up to Toronto, we can, like, meet and, like, you know, and talk and stuff like that. I really like that.
Okay, that would be great. Absolutely. Let me know.
Oh, we'll do. You know, I was going to hope to come up, you know, this year for World Pride Day, but, you know, I couldn't. So, you know how work goes, you know, work gets in the way of other things. You got to, you know, do work first and do other things later, you know.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, so, we'll keep in touch.
Well, we'll do.
Okay. And thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome, Brian. Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. I just want to say thank you to my good friend Brian Rosenberg from Days of Kids. I mean, he was really, really interesting to talk to. And, I'm really hoping that Brian will come back on my show here very soon. So next Sunday on Diversity LGBTQI Radio, I'm going to be having Jeff Timpson from 98 Degrees coming on my show. I know I have all the gays and all the girls. They're going like, oh, my God, Jeff Timpson and stuff like that. I'm like, they're going to be really probably going to be blowing up the show for that. And then on oh, gosh, who am I to have on my show? Gosh, I didn't even get my date plan out in front of me. I tell you, I'm getting old. So on the 19th, I'm having, you know, Jeff Timpson. And then on the 26th of October, I'm doing my Halloween special. I'm bringing it back Beyond the Veil of Darkness for one time only. And I am having the original Club Kid, Michael Alley, the king of the Club Kids, on my radio show for the Halloween special for Beyond the Veil of Darkness. So, you know, I'm going to have him on my show on the 26th and Jeff Timpson on the 19th. And then I am going to be having, Kristen W. on my show here in November. And she's one of the, she's a music artist. She did some, I can't remember all the songs. If you go onto like YouTube and look for Kristen W, she has like a newer music video out there. I can't think of the name of the music video at the moment. And she's done, you know, some songs for Queer as Folk and stuff like that. You know, and then I'm going to have, I'm actually going to be having, you know, more people coming on my show. Let me see who else I'm having on my show, because I've been having one of those days where I can't remember half the stuff I do, because, you know, my day is going crazy. Yeah, I am actually going to be having on the 9th of November. Let me see here. Make sure I got this. Make sure I can actually pronounce. I'm actually having my good friend Stephen Snyder Hill. He wrote a book about being an openly gay veteran and how everything changed since DOMA was struck down and stuff like that. And he's also an author. I can't think of the name of the book at the moment. But if anybody wants to like kind of find him, you know, just like Google Stephen Snyder Hill. And, you know, he has a book out there. He was recently here in Columbus, Ohio. He did a book signing at Union Cafe here in downtown Columbus, Ohio, in the Short North area. He's coming back November 8th to do another book signing at Stonewall in downtown Columbus in the Short North area as well. I am definitely making it to that to actually get him to autograph my book and, you know, have like a little picture taken with him. You know, I'm going to have him on my show tonight to talk about what it means to be a veteran and what it also means to be a gay veteran, also how it changed his life and how it led up to everything that happened. You know, and if anybody's interested, you know, to want to see if he's coming to your hometown for a book signing, you know, I can get all that information for everybody. If anybody's interested to get a book, you can go to soldierofchangebook.com. And you can personally, you know, buy your book from there. And it can also tell you where Jeff and his partner, or Steven and his partner are going to be at in the months to come. So that is all going to be, you know, on their website. You know, if you want to have Steve on your show, just message them on their Facebook page, or you can find Steven Snyder Hill if you go in there, and then, you know, he'll tell you how to arrange your radio show interview and stuff like that. You know, I had to go through his partner in order to schedule my interview with him. So, you know, he'll gladly point you in the right direction. And, you know, like I said, you know, this is my new show and stuff like that. I'm still working out the kinks out of it. I said kinks. So that's going to be all, going to be being all worked out here, because I took a little break from after Beyond the Veil of Darkness ended. So I've been rebranding my show and getting all these wonderful, 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 wonderful guests. You know, just to also throw this out there, I'm also going to be having more drag queens coming on my show for sure, of course. I mean, what is in a show that doesn't have a drag queen on it or two? So I'm going to be doing that a lot more. And, you know, have some, you know, music artists and stuff like that. Having authors and, you know, all the really good stuff. You know, my show is never boring. For sure, I can't stand a boring show. It would just drive me insane. So that's how my show is. It's fun. It's upbeat. It's crazy. You know. You just have all those kind of things going on. I mean, it's you know, all those things also coming up. And tonight is the season premiere of Walking Dead. So I can't really wait to see what's going to happen in season 5. There's been hinting that, you know, some major characters are going to be getting killed and stuff like that. I read an article somewhere where I was between the original showrunner, I can't think of his name at the moment, and the actor who plays Daryl, Norman Reedus, and, you know, and the original showrunner was asking, you know, Daryl, like, you know, about what his character, would he be interested in having his character gay? And what they're talking about that is Norman Reedus's character Daryl is what they call, you know, I don't I'm not sure if this is an actual word or what it's, you said it's called his character Prison Gay. I don't know what that is. I'm not sure if it just, he just looks at of the same sex when he's in prison or what. I don't know, but I am not sure if anybody ever has seen this new show called, it's called Amish Haunting on Destination America. It's on 18th Uverse. I can't remember what's the name of the channel. I think it's like 475, I believe, but I can't really remember. But there are, it's really weird. It kind of reminds me of a haunting in a way. But it's more talking about the Amish, how they don't believe in the paranormal at all. They don't believe in the paranormal. They don't believe in ghosts or anything whatsoever. But, you know, I'm from Pennsylvania, and there's Amish all over Pennsylvania where I'm originally from. So, you know, they don't believe in, you know, having, you know, having their dead in the funeral homes and all this. They always have them in the house, in their houses when they die. And, you know, if you were excommunicated from the Amish community, they don't bury you in white, they bury you in black. If you're shunned, they bury you in black, and they bury you outside of the main cemetery. So that is how they're about their beliefs. You know, and also, you know, Once Upon a Time came back, and they're dealing with the whole entire character from Frozen. You know, I personally don't understand how, you know, the Frozen characters intertwine with the Once Upon a Time characters. I don't know how that is going to work out. There's also a new show called Z Nation. I can't get interested in it. I thought I would get interested because it has zombies in it. I mean, I love zombies, but this one, it is boring as hell. I want to cry because it's so boring. I'm like, oh. So there's another new show coming back. Grimm's coming back in October. Can't wait for that. I think it's tomorrow, I think. Don't hold me to that. I think it's tomorrow. I love Grimm. Grimm's awesome. So I'm going to get ready for Grimm. You know, I think it's coming back tomorrow, maybe in another week or so. I can't really remember. And also coming back. You know, Sleepy Hollow is back for I think, the third season. If you're a Nurse Jackie fan, it's coming back for its final season here in, I'm going to say November, I do believe. Maybe it's October. Can't remember. I can't think of all these names, all these shows and all these knowledge. It's straight in my head. I said straight on my feet. I can't help it. I'm the Piper for some reason. You know, I've been having, you know, my past guests before my show changed. I had, you know, like, you know, I'm trying to, I didn't have, like, I had Angina from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 1. I mean, she was the sweetest. I had Alaska Thunderstruck on my show from season 5. I mean, she was so wonderful and sweet. I have Pandora Box. She was hilarious. So I'm right now I am working on trying to get Adore Delano on my show right now. I actually got to meet Adore Delano months ago here in Columbus, Ohio when she was at AXS performing. She was so sweet and lovely. I'm like, she had all that high energy. And I have to say, you know, she was taller than me, and I'm going like, man. I look up like, hi. You know, and I got to meet the wonderful Miss Jocelyn Fox as well. So I'm going to try to have her on my show as well. I'm also going to try to get, who was it? I'm going to try to get the lovely Miss Sharon Needles back on my show, and trying to get a Miss Alaska Thunderfuck back on my show as well. Because, I mean, Alaska, she is awesome. She's sweet. She's never had a chance to meet her yet, but I'm hoping to meet her very soon. Because she's like my missing gay brother from another mother and another father. So she is awesome. I just had this really tight bond with her, because I mean, we're kind of like, you know, she was kind of like friends in my head. And then I had the Miss Manila Luzon on my show not too long ago. She was so lovely. I mean, she's hilarious. If anybody wants to have her on the show, I mean, I can point you in the right direction. I can tell you who to get hold of. And if anybody's interested, you know, Manel Luzon did a tribute song to Sahara Davenport, her late boyfriend who passed away not too long ago. She did a music video called Eternal Queen. I mean, that song was so touching and so emotional. And, I mean, I cried. I mean, to the point where I couldn't handle it anymore. It was so emotional and heartbreaking and all, so many words or laughs. So, like I said, I'm going to be having Jeff Kinston from 98 Degrees on my show on the 19th. And he's also going to be talking about the new music video he did called Back Girl. And also, I'm going to be talking to him about being a male stripper and also how all the gay men who have, like, you know, how he is more, how all the gay men flock to him. Because, I mean, I would have to admit, I'm like, you know, he's pretty fine. I'm like, whoa, wow. He's good looking. So, I mean, he's probably not in my age range, but. And then on the 26th of October, I'm having the original Club Kid, the king of the Club Kids, Michael Alley. And, you know, I'm going to be, you know, having Beyond the Veil of Darkness that night, so that's my Halloween special for one time only. You know, I'll bring back Beyond the Veil of Darkness once a year on Halloween so I can, you know, do my Halloween show. So, and then, yeah, then it's gonna be close to Thanksgiving, and you know I'm gonna try to get all my people booked for November, and you know, like, if I'm gonna have, you know, Kristen W on my show, I gotta make sure, you know, everything falls into plan to have her on my show, because I'm like, I'm such a fan of Kristen W, because I mean, she kind of reminds me of the whole party, you know, like punk rock from the 80s and 90s. You know, she's kind of like how I was when I was in my teens. You know, very, you know, I wasn't punk rock. I was more goth than anything else. I was kind of like, you know, like how Sharon Needles is now, like how she does her drag. It's like goth and stuff like that. That's how my persona was. I did the goth phase for many years. You know, and also I did the goth phase when I came out, in order to deal with the death of my biological father, and you know, and that's how I dealt with my life, in order to create this alternate persona, in order to shield my real self, and you know, and not rely on my mundane name and stuff like that, or my muggle name or whatever some people like to call it, or how it comes. If you into like steampunk and stuff like that, how they talk about, you know, you being a muggle and stuff like that and all that. I don't get into steampunk. I'm more of, I would have to say I'm more of into wearing vintage clothes. That kind of, you can call me hipster, but, you know, but I'm not really hipster. I just like, you know, multi-layered clothes and how trying to, you know, be out of the norm and not be, you know, relying on, like, general name brand clothes, like, you know, like your Chanko jeans or your 501s or your 7 jeans or like your Izod jeans or whatever. I'm more or less, you know, like a 80s, 90s goth kind of in a way, but I don't do the goth no more. I forgot, you know, day job, because I can't really, you know, go to work wearing, you know, pancake makeup and, you know, eyeliner and stuff like that, paint my fingernails black or whatever. I can't do that because it's, like, one of the things that they frown upon at my job. So, yeah, that's all I have booked for October. You know, like I said, I'm going to throw it out one more time, let all the gays and all the straight girls know that Jeff Timmons is going to be on my show, you know, for... I want to say an hour and a half. It's been awesome. You know, I'm going to, you know, like, try to kind of control myself. You know, I was never a really 98 degrees kind of listening person, I would more or less like, you know, like Metallica, Marilyn Manson and stuff like that. That's my music. I, you know, listen to '60s and '70s kind of music, like Jimmy Morrison, Janis Joplin, and Jimi Hendrix kind of music. But you know, when I was emailed to from the agent that put me in touch with Brian Rosenberg and Jeff Timmons, you know, I'm like, I gotta have him on my show because I'm like, he'll be definitely really good eye candy and listening candy for all of my, you know, my straight listeners and my gay listeners, all that. I mean, you know, I just had so much fun doing this show. I just feel that I hope it comes into like a positive spin for everybody. I mean, you don't have to be gay or anything like that to listen to my show. It's my show is for everybody. I don't care if you're gay, white, black, straight, bi, transgender, or anything like that. You know, my show is there for everybody to listen to. I mean, you can love it or you can hate it. You know, I mean, I love my show because I have all these fabulous guests. And, you know, and they take their time out of their busy schedule just to come on my show. You know, or when they're traveling, you know, they take some time out of their busy schedule in order to come on my show, which I really love my guests to do, is to come on my show and have a good old time. And we can just, like, chit-chat and talk about what they're doing now. You know, I just feel like my guests have an awesome time. But I'm also going to try, I'm going to throw this out there as well. I'm going to try to have Manila Luzon back on my show so we can talk about her Eternal Queen song that was dedicated to her late boyfriend, Sahara Davenport. For some of the people who don't know, Manila Luzon, she's from season 4 of RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, some people go like, oh my God, he's so pretty and stuff like that. And they find out, you know, some people, you know, they go like, oh my God, he can make a really good woman and stuff like that. I'm like, well, I mean, if you know how to do everything in the right way, and some people make really pretty women, and you know, and some people, I'm not gonna hurt no one's feelings. I mean, sometimes it could be, you know, a devastating effect. But I mean, I met some really, you know, pretty drag queens who, you know, they make really good women. I'm like, especially the one who was, I think it was Courtney Ann. You know, I thought she was really a girl. I mean, the first time I seen her on RuPaul's Drag Race, I'm like, holy shit, there's a real girl on RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm going like, wow. I'm like, how did that happen? And, you know, then to find out, you know, she's really a boy. I'm like, a really pretty boy. I really don't like the whole time, you know, pretty boy thing. And I'm like, if you're into pretty gay boys, I mean, that's fine. You know, just, I don't know. I couldn't do drag because that's not me. Not me at all, but the only time I kind of, you know, do stuff like that is on Halloween. That's the only time you'll see me do something like that. But that's about it. You know, then I'm going to have some really interesting more guests. I'm going to try to get Brian Rosenberg back on the show when he has more time. You know, he's raising kids with his partner and stuff like that. Maybe one of these days, you know, I might do a live show from somewhere. You know, that's been actually in the works too, as well. You know, and you know, if you want to have me on your show, just let me know, and I'll make time to come on your show. Just make sure, you know, give me some time in advance so, you know, everything works around my work schedule, and you know, and you know, I might be cranky for a little bit because I'm gonna be starting a new position at my day job, so you know, I might be cranky, but I mean, as long as you offer me Starbucks, I'll be happy. None of this, you know, Starbucks over the phone or anything like that. It has to be have a little Starbucks, you know, cup here in my hand in front of me so I can actually drink it, of course. You know, not like teasing me like you're drinking Starbucks while you're talking to me or anything like that. None of that because, you know, I get very, you know, revengeful when people are teasing me at Starbucks. You know, just, you know, if you want to talk to me about, you know, for who I am. You know, a lot of people don't know who I am. My name is Jason Belichick. You know, I'm an openly gay, you know, paranormal researcher, author, and stuff like that. You know, I'm actually working on my second book of poetry. It's going to be focusing more on much more darker and disturbing poetry that I wrote in my through their teenage years. If I don't have a title yet for it, I'm thinking I'm going to call it something like Retribution or something like that, something that will catch everybody's eye. I found out recently that a lady who's maybe I went to church with many years ago, 21 years ago. She was the organist at the church I went to 21 years ago. And she goes, "Oh, you know, you got a book." I'm like, "Well, yeah." She went, "No." But she read my book. You know, I'm not actually like it. I don't know. That's kind of scary. And then my good friend, Robin Marie, she read my book as well. I had her on my show as well, like a couple of times. I think I had Beyond Veil there. She was on my show. You know, she read my book, and you know, it was kind of like, you know, how, you know, it was kind of disturbing in some parts, if you're into disturbing poetry. So I'm also working on that book. I'm also working on another book about ghosts and legends here in Columbus, Ohio. So that's also in the work, too, for maybe 2015 or 2016. It depends on when I get off my lazy butt to actually, you know, write the second book about the ghosts and legends of Columbus. So whenever I get off my butt to write that, and I'm trying to get this other poetry book all finished, you know, it's going to be one of those things. I, you know, trying to get everything done before, you know, winter sets in, and, you know, I'm going to be, you know, like hibernating when it comes winter, but you definitely have to work in order to make money in order to pay for everything, but, you know, but it all depends, you know, I mean, if you want to have me on your show, like, say, if, like, you want to, you know, have like a one-on-one thing about how to change my life from being openly gay and how, I mean, it all depends, you know, how you want to ask me questions. I mean, you know, if it's too personal, I'm going like, next, you know, I'm like, another question, please. You know, I mean, there are certain, you know, questions I will not answer and certain questions I will answer, but, you know, just be, you know, straightforward with me in a manner of speaking. Just be yourself when you're around me. I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm not that hard to get along with. I mean, some people think, you know, when they meet me, they think that I have this bitch face. I mean, I'm not sure why they call it a bitch face. I'm very guarded. So, I mean, a lot of people think I have this bitch face. So I just try to be who I am for who I am. So if you can't accept that TFD. So, you know, I don't know. I wish I had another guest right now, but I don't. I kind of, you know, I was trying to get this all the kinks worked out of the show and stuff like that. Let's see here. On the other note, this was my very first show for Diversity LGBTQI Radio. So, like I said, next week will be Jeff Kinson. So, make sure you get your questions, ladies and guys. I mean, definitely get your questions ready because this is going to be probably crash the server for on DPM with the radio because I'm like, no, I mean, my producer, probably, Tiffany, will probably call in and ask me, Jeff. I'm like, oh my God, you know, like Jeff Simpson. I'm like, she's like, I'm like, Tiffany, if you only seen a picture of him, I'm going like, OMG, he is fine. I'm like, oh my, man, I'm like, you just gotta see that. I mean, it's like, but I just gotta say, you know, he's gonna be my guest for next week, so. You know, keep on tuning in every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I just want to thank everybody who tuned in to listen to my show tonight. It's my very first show for this brand new show, a brand new name. So I just want to say thank you again to my good friend Brian Rosenberg for coming on my show. I mean, you can definitely tell he's from Boston because of the accent. I mean, it was so thick. It was more thicker than my accent. I'm going like, holy wow, holy crap. So, you know, I'm going to try to get him back on my show. You know, so it can be a much longer, extensive interview with him. You know, like I said, next Sunday is Jeff Kinson. You know, he'll be on at, I want to say, 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. So he'll be on then. And he'll also be having his music producer to talk, go in depth about his newest song called That Girl. If anybody want to look that up, it's called That Girl. You can go onto YouTube, type in Jeff Timpson and That Girl, I do believe. And I'm also going to, you know, once I confirm some more guests on there, I mean, they'll be on my Facebook page. It's I'm also working on a website for Diversity LGBTQI Radio. That's going to be in the process here when it comes, I'll be working on that as well to get that all up and ready for people and have my weekly guests on there. And, like, if, you know, to probably put, like, all the podcasts that I have on there on the website as well for people to listen to, you know, and stuff like that, you know. And, you know, if almost I have, like, a message board on there, people can write in and, you know, register and, like, you know, if people want to go on there and chat and stuff like that, you know, Facebook is being a total wankers. So I'm also going to try to get another two guests coming on the show, but it's so hard trying to get them on my show because they're super busy. They travel a lot. So I'm going to try to get them on my show. I can't divulge that information right now, but I just want to say thank you to everybody who tuned into my show. And I am your host, Jason Belcher from Diversity LGBTQI Radio. I hope everybody has a good weekend, and tune in to next Monday for Jeff Simpson, everybody, at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. Everybody has a good weekend, and hope everybody has a wonderful Columbus Day here in the States. And I want to say, you know, happy Thanksgiving to my Canadian friends and family, you know, and so, you know, hope they have a good Thanksgiving. And I will see everybody in Canada for Christmas in January. Have a good night, everybody. See everybody next Sunday. Have a good night.